You know, it's a very humbling thing when you acknowledge that you are part of the church. When you acknowledge that you confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Because what it means, basically at the core, it means that you don't have the capacity to take care of your own life. It's a humbling thing to receive Jesus as Savior. It's a definition that says, I am a sinner. I have failed at living up to God's standards. I have failed to measure up to all that God desires. I've offended God. I cannot fix myself. I cannot right the ship of my life. I cannot make myself better than I am without Christ, and so I need him. That's what it means to confess Jesus. It's different than joining a club. It's just different than coming and saying, you know, I really like the people there. The pastor's really handsome. And the seats are comfortable, and I love the music. It's different than that. It's something deeper. It's something of need. When Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, what he was declaring is that the Messiah had come, the Christ had come, the Anointed One. And I believe that the fullness of what that meant when he declared that was shaped out after the resurrection for him, when he realized that this one had come to save the world, including you, including me. Including everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ. We are confessors of Christ. This isn't just a great place to hang out. We are ones who declare that he is worthy of all of our worship. We are the ones who understand that we have been set free by Christ. We are free to run. We are free to live. We are free from all of our past, all of our stupid, all of our wreckage and ravagedness, all the things that have happened in our lives. We are free from that. We don't have to live that sentence anymore. We can live free to become everything the Father dreams us being. We can live up into who we are in Jesus Christ. Our lives can be made new. That's what it means to confess Christ. It says in Hebrews, and it's already been read this morning, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The promise of Scripture is that when you have Christ, it may take you a while, it may be a lifelong journey, but you can throw off the sin that hinders you and entangles you, that you are free to run the race. We are confessors of Christ. We are amongst those who Jesus would have called in the early days. You heard about it last week from President Walter, where he said the first invitation was, come, follow me. And the response of the disciples was they left everything. We are amongst those who say, we will follow Jesus, putting everything behind, taking everything in our lives, everything everything that we have, all that we are and all that we have, and surrender to Christ and say, we belong to you. Listen to this from Mark chapter 1. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting net. This is the early part of Peter's life. Or, by the way, Simon and Peter, the same person. They're casting nets, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. See, when we say we're confessors of Christ, we are amongst those who have reprioritized our lives for the sake of the kingdom. All that we are, and all, like if you're a business owner, you straight up, it's not your business anymore. Your house, it's not your house any longer. It's not your car any longer. It's all that you are and all that you have belongs to Jesus Christ, and he invites you to steward it for him. By the way, those of you who are like new in the church and trying to figure that out, that's a huge thing. By the way, I say this cautiously. You might want to consider that, whether you're actually really willing to surrender your life, that whether you acknowledge your need for Jesus that much, that you'd give him control of all that you are. But that is the call. That's a beautiful thing. This idea of declaring in humility our need for Jesus, our willingness to be free to run with him and to live for him, to be set apart for his kingdom. And to be willing to leave everything behind. I received an email from one of us in the church a couple weeks ago. And I'll just say her name. I have permission. Her name is Sierra. She writes this. Christ has always been in my life, but hasn't always been in me. I never put my relationship with Christ first. After I was confirmed through college and even until just a few years ago, I went through the motions of life spiritually. I never really stopped to think about what I believed in or what my purpose in life was. I hit rock bottom about 2 years ago, and I knew I couldn't do this on my own anymore. Did you hear that? The person who's a confessor of Christ is one who acknowledges, I can't do this on my own. I can't fix me. I couldn't do this on my own anymore. I began reflecting on my life and questioning what my purpose here on earth was. I had done a Bible study led by Beth Moore just before we moved back to home in Grand Forks in 2013. I could feel God working in my soul, but after so many years of not having a relationship, I didn't know where to start. I started attending Hope Church in the summer of 2015. Then God placed someone in my life I so desperately needed, Allie Bain, who's also one of us. They were colleagues at work. My coworker and dear friend has helped me grow significantly over the last few years. There were still times where I questioned, am I doing this right? Why I haven't heard from him? And then one moment forever changed my journey and completely instilled a faith in me that hasn't been questioned to this day. In March of 2016, my grandma passed away. I was fortunate enough to be by her side and calm her by letting her know it was okay and that God was waiting for her. The day before she passed, she kept seeing the letters S-E-R-V-A-N-T flash across her vision. It wasn't all together, and she couldn't figure out what it meant. Well, I figured out it spelled the word servant. My grandmother was being called home. In Matthew 25:23, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. After that, I knew without a doubt he is alive. I went to the cross on June 26, 2016, to recommit my life to the Lord. And on April 16, 2017, I proclaimed Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, along with my dear friend, Allie. Through a believer's baptism on Easter Sunday morning at Hope's Easter service, he has never left my side, even amidst my absence, and for that I am eternally grateful. A couple weeks later, I received this. She starts with just the letter A and a bunch of H's. She's, oh, I could cry, she writes. I just wrote my first tithing check for more than I've ever paid out in a year's worth of going to church at what I used to give, and my heart is screaming with joy. So grateful for God and this place I call home. Hope. See, it's his church where we say, I'll trust you with all that I am. I like what it says. Well, not what it says, what he said. Upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus says, he will build it. By the way, you know what he's talking about, right? I mean, he's not talking about bricks and mortar. This is not his church. You and I are. He will build his church, and he will not allow the gates of Hades to prevail over you. When you surrender your life into his hands, he promises that he will build you. In Philippians chapter 1, we read, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And he promises that he will build you, that he'll build us. The church, confessors of Christ, not a club, but a movement of people. Number two, in what I notice here, we are church, a people, not a place. A people, not a place. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. You remember this little thing here when you were a little kid? You used to go like this. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. You know what's wrong with that? That's not the church. The church is the people. It's not a place. It's when you open the doors and see the church. When you go out from here and go to work, the church has moved into a different space. When you go to home and to your home and have dinner together, the church is gathered around dinner tables. If you are a Christ follower, wherever you go, the church is there because you are the church. I am the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. The church is not a resting place. The church is not a steeple. The church is the people. See, somewhere along the line, we took the word ekklesia in the Greek language, and we translated it into a word that means building, and we've messed up the thinking of God's people throughout all of history since this has been done. Matter of fact, William Tyndale, some of you know the name, he was one of the first translators of the Bible from Latin into readable language, and he translated the word church or ecclesia into congregation or people. See, the word ecclesia means the called out ones, the assembly of God's people, the group of people who are called out on purpose for mission. Actually, William Tyndale was burnt at the stake for that translation. Because many in the church at the time wanted the church to represent the hierarchy, wanted to represent the building, wanted to represent the structure. And what Jesus said, what God said, is that the church is this people that are called together in His name, called together to bring our worship together, to worship all week long and once in a while every week, come together and worship, but never, ever, wherever you are, stop being church. Church is people who confess Jesus Christ. It's not the institution. It's not a set of beliefs. It's not a set of rules and regulations. It's a people called by the name of Jesus Christ. So when every Sunday when we say, go into the world and be, is you're being church. Because church is us, the family of God. And what a beautiful, amazing privilege that He changes our belonging. When we are church, we're no longer our own. We acknowledge that we've been purchased with a price, the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and He changes our space of belonging. That I'm no longer just me, I am we. That when I rejoice, we all rejoice. When I hurt, we all hurt. When you hurt, we all hurt. When you rejoice, we all rejoice. That we are intertwined, interdependent, somehow put together, and we are called the body of Christ. His hands, His feet, His ears, His mouth on earth. And He calls us to serve. And He calls us to give. And He calls us to make an impact in this world. He calls us to steward our lives, to say that He says, I'm allowing you to work on my behalf with what you have that is mine. He's like He's saying, when you surrender your life to me, don't forget I own you. Now manage you in a way that brings me honor and brings me praise. Understand that you are blessed to be a blessing. That God pours blessing on you in order for you and I to bless others. He calls us to live different and to make a difference. Hey, Pastor Paul, reaching out on a few regards. First one, we're loving the worship center. I didn't realize there was a new sound system. I must have missed that at first. The whole time singing, I was wondering if the bass guitar's gain was turned up because I could feel the depth way better. It's great. I love it. Hopefully it's not too loud for some. Anyways, your message had a good ring to it for me. I started coming back to Hope in 2009. I was hit and miss for a while, struggling with different things outside of my walk with Jesus Christ. I'd like to think I'm one of those people you've kind of got to see change over the last 10 years. He sits over here. So thanks for always being consistent in what you preach and how you keep the sermons alive and repeatable. It's fun to see our church grow and our community be more aware of how Jesus, you hear that? And our community being more aware of how Jesus is changing us all. Also to see men grow closer to Jesus now that I'm involved in the men's ministry, Fight Club, which we can't tell you anything about because first rule of Fight Club is, you don't talk about Fight Club. Thanks for all you do for the church and more importantly for everyone's heart. This is a young man who, as he said, has been coming here for years. And I mention this every once in a while. One of the great privileges I have is to watch you all come and watch, especially when some of you come and you don't know Jesus yet and your heads are bowed because of whatever shame or grief is on you. And he's one of those guys. And over the years, his head is lifted and he's singing out next to his wife. and his life is being changed by a God who loves him. I wrote so-and-so's name. I'm not going to say the name. I wrote so-and-so's name on the floor in the new edition, along with a few others of my friends, and I started praying for them. So-and-so called me a week after I had wrote his name down, and we talked about a few things, and I invited him to church. Not really my effort, but Christ's. He came with his daughter, and now he's been coming for the last several Sundays. It has become a priority in his life, and he has been telling others about the awesome worship experience. He had an upbringing, and then he mentions a certain church, so that it was like this was unlike anything he'd ever been a part of. My wife and I are encouraging him on a variety of things, and we both feel grateful that the Lord has worked through us to plant a seed in his life. I'm amazed every Sunday at the people that I see in church. He's talking about you all. Because he knows some of you, and he's stunned that you're here. I'm amazed every Sunday at the people that I see in church, people that I know that I would never have thought would attend church. Start planning the next expansion, he writes, because they are coming. I'm convinced of it. The message that Hope Church is sending is resonating with the people in the Grand Forks region, and they are coming. On a personal note, I'd like to thank you for what you do. It must be a challenge, tiresome, and all that. And thank you all for the talented people that make Hope Church what it is. We are so happy. See, we're celebrating. We're celebrating the renovation of a worship center today. The place where the church gathers. Having lived all week long worshiping, we come together to worship. But this is just a gathering space for the church. This is not the church. See, my prayer, our prayer, isn't just that we'd renovate buildings, but that God would do the work of renovating us. That's the deeper work. That's the purpose of a tool like this. That's why we encourage you and invite you to invest, so that God will use a space to make a people his house of worship. Did you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it actually says you are the temple? If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, he says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He changes you. He changes you from a person who is apart from God and far from God into a person who God takes up residence in and declares your life a sacred space, not just a building. Here's the last point. The church advancing in power, not hiding in fear. Advancing in power, not hiding in fear. I love this idea. I love this. Matter of fact, some of you, when you grew up, certain churches, right, you look at them, they look like castles. And part of the philosophy of the church in the old days, when I believed that we lost the plot for what God was doing, was that we built a structure that looked like a place where you could come and hide from the world. Right, where you could come, and it could be this space, this fortress that was standing, you could hide from it. And this idea that when you came into the sacred space, you were clear from all of the infection of the world, and then they thrust you out. But it was the understanding in those days by some that this church was a space, and really what the church is, it's the people, and the people are called to advance in power. I'm amazed at this, how we do this thing called advancement in power. See, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world, but they have power to demolish strongholds, that God calls us to be a different kind of people, a different kind of people advancing in power. Our power is the power of love, is the power of grace, is the power of truth. We don't grab weapons of the world and say, we're going to win the world. We grab the weapons of the kingdom and say, we're going to love people ridiculously well until their lives change. We're going to pray for people in amazing ways until the hardness of their heart is worn away. We're going to ask God to flood the streets of this region with his hope and love, so that the love of Jesus is so thick here that if you wanted to go to hell, you'd have to move to right, we're asking God to advance the power of his kingdom through his people. By the way, if you're from Fargo, no offense. Right, just win people for Jesus. See, I was one time in Israel. By the way, I was in Israel, and we were at the Church of the Ascension. This was like a beautiful picture for me. At the Church of the Ascension, they have this stone floor. And in the stone floor, there's these little like dips in the stone. And I wondered what they were. And I asked the guy, is that, because I heard this from someone else saying, that's the spot where Jesus took off into the heavens and he dented the stones. And I, so I asked the guide, is that what you all say, that that's the spot? Because like I didn't believe that. And he said, no, you know what that is? He said, this is the general area where we believe that Jesus ascended into heaven, but you know what those spots are? He said, those are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people through the years kneeling to pray. And the indentation from their knees had removed stone in the floor. Because soft always wins over hard over time. You may think the most effective tool is for you to come and bombard someone who doesn't know Jesus. Come and bombard a thing. Maybe the tool of prayer. Those of us who have lived in the Red River Valley for a long time know the power of water to erode things and move things and change things. What if the love of Christ was like a spring of living water in you, and you continually just wet the environment where you were as church, believing and praying that God would move away the embankments around people's souls and their hearts, and you would ask God, God, we would love for you to change this environment so that the gates of hell would not prevail against the movement of your kingdom and your church. That we would say, God, we want you to do a work so that the thief does not come and steal and kill and destroy people's lives around us, but that they could have life and have it to the full. God, we are ready and waiting for you to do a work with the weapons that you bring, the weapons of truth and grace, the weapons of love, of hope and mercy, the weapons of giving and caring for the poor, the weapons of a church standing against evil, the weapons of a church standing against injustice, the weapons of a church moving into the spaces where other people wouldn't go, the weapons of the church moving in every nook and cranny with the hope and love of Jesus Christ. The church is meant to advance. The church isn't meant to hide. And we're called by God to make a difference in this world. Listen to this story. Some of you know this person. Pastor Paul, as of today, and this is a couple weeks old, I'm 398 days clean. Go ahead, you can praise God for that. I was asked to speak at one of my Narcotics Anonymous meetings in Fargo yesterday. It was very cool to speak out and tell people about the dark places I've been and the situations I've put myself in. I shared how angry I was at God. I told the people how I blamed everyone else for my junk. I even talked about my struggles in the last 6 weeks. It did wonders for me. I think the message they received from me and what I wanted to leave with them is, no matter what you've done or whatever poor choices you've made, God still loves you. He loved me yesterday. He loves me today. He will love me tomorrow. His love is constant. He writes, goodness, I've been rambling. I didn't mean to go so long. See, there are people all around us who are being held in bondage apart from the love of grace, the love of Christ, the mercy. They're not free to run because they've been held back. And what if there was a church, people called by the name of Christ, that says, we're not going to stop. Everybody around us has heard the name of Jesus. So here's what we're going to ask you to do, invite you to do. I'm going to invite you to grab your pledge card. And for those of you who are guests here, this is you've come on the anniversary of our campaign, and if God prompts you, that's fine. If he doesn't, don't feel obligated. But I'm not going to shy away from giving you an invitation to enter into this campaign, because I am absolutely convinced God is doing amazing things through this church for the glory of his name. And so we have a pledge card there. If you'd all just put your name in there. Even if you filled one out in the past, I encourage you to do this. There's a couple options.
Some of you might check the box that says, I'm ready to fulfill my commitment today. Maybe you came ready to, you pledged a year and a half ago and you're ready to complete it. Some of you may say, I want to keep my original 3-year commitment. Some of you may be new here and don't really know what we're talking about and what we're doing. We're the facility expansion, the ministry expansion, the Compassion First, where we're giving funds away. By the way, all these new funds, we're going to give away 15% of that. You may just check that I want to receive more information. Some of you, because of life change and significant things that have happened since we began the campaign, some of you might want to adjust your commitment. Maybe you've got a new job and a new promotion and you realize that God is blessing in a way that wasn't reflected in your commitment. Maybe you've lost a job or lost a promotion. You have to change it. Some of you might want to just make your first commitment. Let me talk to those of you who are in that space. Right? Maybe you've been here for a while, testing the waters, seeing if we're genuine. And you're wondering if it's time for you to step in. I would invite you to do that. Some of you students, right, you're thinking, I don't even make money. Your parents do. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Kind of. No, I'm kidding. But what you could, so this is just for those of you who can't step in a major way, but every gift is important. So every one of these chairs that we've ordered is going to be $70. Right? Maybe over the next year and a half, you'd ask God for the grace to buy one chair. Some of you could buy 2 chairs. Some of you others could buy 10 or 20 or 30. Right? There's more kitchen supplies, and you received a letter on this. There's all kinds of things that we're yet to do. The Great Hall. If you notice, the carpet is still the old carpet, and half of it, that's because we're out of funds. And we're okay with that. We'll trust God for what He's doing. So I encourage you, if you haven't been a part of this, just take these next moments and pray and ask God. If you have been a part, are you at the level where God wants you? Do you have questions? In fact, let me pray for a moment. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for lives that are being changed. I thank you for the privilege of being part of this team. In my own life, of being part of the giving for this, the fun and excitement that is. God, I pray that you guide us, and we're trusting you, Father. So we thank you. In Jesus' name. So when you're done filling out your pledge card, we'll have ushers in the back with baskets. You can just drop it in, and we'll announce where we are next Sunday, and we're rejoicing with what God's doing. By the way, last Sunday there were 4 new believers, right, that surrendered their lives to Christ. Couples, yeah, you can give God praise for that. I grew up in a church as often as my family went, which was not all the time, but I don't remember anybody ever coming to faith in Christ. So the privilege to be a part of a church where people are growing deeper and new people are coming to faith is amazing. Lord bless you.
I am free to dance. I am. loves you, lift up his countenance upon you, filling you with his grace, and granting you his peace. Go into the world to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Let God love you. Love him in return, and love others in Jesus' name. Go be.
Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will sing. Through you the dead will rise. Through you our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free.
I am free.
I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am
time.